The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's done.
We have 5 days left.
That's it.
Okay, so 5 days left for the Maps Anywhere.
That's right. 5 days of
promotion.
Christmas after Christmas.
Now listen,
whoa.
Maps Anywhere is the Maps program where you don't need any equipment. We actually program a workout based on your body, and you can also utilize some bands and a stick. Really minimal equipment,
yeah.
Extremely effective.
It's ready, set, go.
You can replace your workout with it and then go back to your regular workout and you will see improvements. You could do it on its own. It's the most effective non-equipment-based program I've ever seen.
Anywhere.
You could do it anywhere. Yeah. It's half off right now, 50% off. Or enroll in the RGB bundle, which is 9 months of exercise program, which has MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. Get that and we'll give it to you for
free.
We're
going to throw it
in. Free?
For free.
Yeah. Holy shit.
You can find this at mindpumpmedia.com. Do not miss out on this promotion. It'll probably never happen again.
iTunes review time.
iTunes review time. iTunes review time.
Tell us, tell us.
Obviously, Christmas got people very distracted because we only got 10 reviews.
Everybody, don't forget
about last week. And by the way, remember how I said we wanted to get 1,000 reviews by the end of the year? Well, we're about 24 shy of that.
What?
So you guys have about 5 days to get the rest of those out there. Otherwise, we have
to complete a goal.
That means we have to hit 24 on this next review coming up.
Before this next review.
So we're calling for that right now. Yes. We need everybody's help.
We
if you're a
Army.
Mind Pump fan, if you're a listener, you haven't left a review, you haven't tried to get yourself a free t-shirt, Sal, tell these motherfuckers how to get a free shirt, please.
This is what you do if you want to get a free t-shirt.
They're nice people.
Number one, you have to leave a review. By the way, if you don't hit 1,000 reviews, then
tell them step by step how to do this because it's a pain in the ass. iTunes makes this very difficult.
Draw it on a paper in their mind.
I was just going to say Adam was planning on doing a nude calendar. He won't do it if you don't leave reviews. I'm just telling you right now. If you do leave the reviews, he'll think about it. Anyhow, this is what you do. Listen, you go to your review. You go to the podcast icon. Click on search. You have to do this. Even if
you're subscribed already.
That's right. Go up to the search bar. Type at the top, Mind Pump. Once you type that in, hit enter, click on the Mind Pump icon, then there will be it'll pop up. You'll see a little reviews button. Click on that. Leave your review. If we like a review and we pick it, you'll get a free t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I have to remind everybody, we love everybody's reviews.
We love them.
We like
but
all.
There's some that we like just a little bit more.
We love
just,
some more.
Yeah.
We just sort of
so
pick them.
We're going to give out 3 shirts here.
Give them away, Douglas.
Let me read them off. It's Shady5925.
I trust him.
Snake Slash, I trust him as well.
He's a wrestler.
And Jay Hardy, 31. All of you are winners. Please send your name, the one I just read, to iTunes at Mind Pump Media. Include your shirt size, your shipping address, and we'll get that right out to you.
Do it, please.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I was listening to our last Q&A on the way over here. Man, I miss us talking when we don't talk for 3 or 4 days.
It's, you miss us talking
you
with
miss
each
us
other?
Talking.
I do. It throws my... I get really... I don't do so well with days off, I think, as you guys do. I don't do so well. I get really irritable, and my girl's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I need to work.
You
she's
might,
like,
you might
God,
be
a, you're the
you're
worst.
Like compelled
you might be
a, to it.
You might be addicted to us.
Yeah, I think so.
A little bit. Well, a lot of what
I can
we...
see how that would happen.
So much... There, a lot of what
which
we,
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of what we do is therapeutic, though, for me. You know, a lot of it is like I get it off. I realize this is another, some more self-awareness here. You know, I hold a lot of stuff in. Like, it goes all the way back to childhood bullshit where I bury this stuff in and then I wait. And then, I feel like I have
let it out.
Yeah, I feel like I have a long fuse, but then you know, once somebody...
I don't want to let millions of people know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's let them all know.
Well, and when we do this, I feel like it lets me release a lot of that. So I seem pretty calm and collected, but give us a few days off. I think that's why I get so irritable. Like, you ever notice, like, after we've had a few days off, my text messages, I'm more like an asshole when I text to all of them. It's like...
You're extra ornery.
No, I mean, I don't know if I agree with that. I think your texts are consistently...
I'm a consistent asshole.
No. This is
I've been trying to kill Katrina all the time.
I definitely miss getting on the mics. That's funny. Definitely. But I will say that for the past year, for me, taking time off has saved my life. I haven't had the ability to grind like I normally could, just because all the shit that I was going through. And I really had to acknowledge that taking time off for me is just, it stresses me out, but it also saves me in other ways. Aside from you guys and aside from Jessica, it's just been essential to keeping me, you know, keep me functioning, if anything. But I did have a very nice Christmas holiday. I don't know about how was yours?
It was good. I stayed around here. We didn't go anywhere. Normally I take off and I kind of do my rounds. My family's so dysfunctional. None of them speak to each other except for I'm the only one who speaks to all of them. So I got to head out to all the different
like the moderator.
Yeah, but what I did this year. And
you put the function in dysfunction.
I do.
Yeah.
What I did this year was I started that in Thanksgiving. So I kind of made my rounds starting Thanksgiving to everybody. So for Christmas Day, we actually stayed home and stayed with Katrina. Now, Katrina's family is extremely tight. Everybody comes to her mom's house and we all get together. And it's tradition that the night before we all crash at our house or her house. And everyone's piled in on couches and blow up mattresses and they party all day, and then the next day we party again and we eat. So I have the biggest food hangover.
Yeah.
And I had so much cake, dude. Oh, and I remember eating the last
just
piece.
Cake?
Just lots of cake, dude. So much cake. And I'm eating.
I just imagine like a table and there's all these desserts, but there's like cake. And then Adam's like that's
cake eating contest.
Yeah, and Adam's like, fuck all the other dessert. I'm just going to eat cake. I don't want turkey. I don't want anything else.
It's tradition for us to watch. Katrina and I watch Jim Carrey's Christmas Carol animated movie. You guys know which one I'm talking about? The one where he's Scrooge. Jim Carrey plays
Grinch.
The Grinch. So not there.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, Christmas Carol. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. And
he's all the ghosts.
Yeah, and it's all CGI and stuff. Great. I mean, it's probably one. I remember.
So you watch it every year.
Yeah, it's our tradition to watch it. We went and saw the theater way back when we first started dating, and it's been kind of a tradition that we always watch it. And we're sitting there watching it night before last, and Katrina's looking at me, and I'm just like. Like stuffing my face with this cake, and she's like, "Are you still hungry?" And I'm like, "No, but I can't stop eating this cake because it's here, you know. And we have to get it all out of the house. Like everything is like, is this the last piece?" She's like, "No, there's more downstairs. Go get it, go get it. We're gonna finish all this stuff right now." And I remember like eating it, and I'm like, my stomach is hurting while I'm eating, but it's so good as I'm going down. And then all night last night, you know when it's bad, dude? Like, and this only happens
did
when
you
I
have
do
the cake shits.
Yes, at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, cake shits are horrible.
Yeah, when you know when you're so bad, you have to get up and take a poop in the middle of the night. Like that's so here's
it wakes you up.
I just want
and it burns.
There's nothing worse than waking up to poop.
Yes, anyone who's listening to this, if you shit on a regular basis on that, you need to fix your fucking diet. Like, if you have to get up at 2 or 3 in the morning and take a middle of the night shit, like, your diet's fucked up, dude. Like, fix your diet.
Another name for an indie band.
Yeah.
Middle of the night shit.
Middle of the night shitter.
So what happens to me, because I'm extremely, because I was Nevada. I was in Vegas visiting Jessica's family for over the holiday. Great people.
Now, that was your first time over there, right?
My first time, hanging out with him. It was great.
You survived, I see.
Great people, very close with each other. She has a niece and nephew, which I'm totally in love with. These kids are great. Played with them half the time. We had good food, you know, good times. But yeah, when you eat like that, man, like I'm super regular, right? I know I poop at the exact same times every day. I know exactly when it's going to happen.
Activia.
It's just perfect, right?
Yeah.
But it totally throws me off, and then I don't. And then the next time I do, it's bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sticks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, the stick one? Well, Justin knows because he sticks all the time.
Come on, man.
Always
you're always bus checking me.
I had the Justin poop habits. I actually had the poops that were like, you know, like glue.
Like a car crash happened.
Which is embarrassing when you're
toilet.
When you're at someone else's house.
Yeah.
Because then you got to go down there and you got to like, you got to kind of maneuver the toilet paper on it so that it catches on
the
sticky part.
Some, like water
and it flushes
from the sink and you.
Why do these things bother us as we get older? I feel like I did all that. I ate like that all the time as a kid growing up, and the shits and all those things was just. I thought that was normal.
Yeah, you just like dealt with it.
I don't think I ever knew what it was like to like poop nice. You know, like this is enjoyable and this
like,
is.
Oh, that wasn't so bad this time. Sweet.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think once you know what it's like, you know what I mean. Once you have one of those, those holy poops, right, where you just. Yeah. You sit down, you go, you get up, you wipe, and they're like,
"You almost don't." When it's a good one, you almost don't even need to wipe.
You don't need to. It's a clean break.
It's such a clean break. It comes right out, and it's like, "Oh, I didn't." I use like one.
I mean,
square.
Those are the moments in life.
It's a one square pooper.
Yeah, you're just like, yeah.
Where have those been?
Yeah, you know.
This is how it should be.
Oh, and I worked out. So I worked out in Vegas over at the Las Vegas Athletic Club.
Oh, was that your first time in there?
It was, and it was, God, man, I haven't been in a gym like that in a long time.
There's not, okay,
it was,
is that like a meat market?
It is
gym?
On another level.
Market.
There's.
I thought I remember you talking about that.
Yes, there is, to me, I don't think I've ever been in a gym that it's this crazy.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded
like
me
all
of.
All strippers?
Oh, right? Everybody, yes, tons of strippers.
It's not just that, it's the equipment, the design of the place, it's very.
Oh, everything's all bright like, and vibrant colors.
Yeah, like. it's like cutting edge 90s gym, like bodybuilding. Gym.
Sweet.
So cutting edge bodybuilder 90s. So you'll see like equipment.
Stringers galore.
And then there's signs above the equipment that says like shoulders, arms, quads, hands. So like they actually break everything up into body
and
parts.
Like fluorescent colors too to top it off. Like this bright pink
it's
color.
Like a blast from the past.
Yeah, lots of machines. Every guy in there wearing a belt, and they were doing non-belt required exercises like curls or some shit, cable
curls,
flies or some shit like
but
that.
But how about everybody's outfits, right? Everybody is like...
It was like I was in bodybuilding heaven of the 90s.
Yes.
Everybody
that's is...
hilarious.
Everybody's
I want to go there.
Ensemble is
but
like
it was a
completely done.
So check this out. Massive gym, right? Massive
was there a lot
gym.
Of flat tops?
Well, hold on. So it's a huge facility, right? It's a big fucking gym.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty badass gym.
Yeah, right? There were, I think, two cages in the whole gym.
Shut up. That's it?
But that's how it was, remember?
Oh, man.
That's how it was back in the day.
Remember.
Like, who used
like
the cage
so
back
ago.
Then? You wanted benches. You wanted
You had to have your
machines,
leg extension.
You wanted dumbbells, and you wanted a bunch of cables, and that was it.
Man, and the girls are just like... Done up, bro.
Yeah.
Done up. Makeup, like hair. Caked. Oh, hair, like sexy outfits, like matching all the way down their sneakers.
Completely distracting.
Hair tie goes with the whole sneakers. Everything's all put together. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, they look, it is definitely.
So you're there pretending to work out.
Totally.
What's happening.
Totally. Yeah. That's actually normally what we do when we go to Vegas. We go get our pump on at another
you go
gym.
Somewhere else
we
and go there.
We go to like a dungeon type place. Yeah. We get a serious workout. And then we're like, let's go over to, you know, LVAC?
LVAC.
Yeah, LVAC.
So there's
that makes sense.
So there's a few of them, right, in Las Vegas. I think there's two or three of them, right? We were taken to the one that was not the one
Mecca.
That you went to.
Yeah.
The one that you went to, that's what they said. They said, listen, do you guys want to go to, I don't remember what location it was. Do you want to go to the location where like all the people are there, it's super packed and you know everybody looks at each other, or do you want to go to the one that's a little slower? So we're like, let's go to the slower one. But I kind of regret not going to the one that you're talking about, Adam, because I feel like that was something I should have experienced.
I must have seen at least 10 Instagram stars there.
No.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I remember walking in and I was with I've been in there a couple times, and I was in there the first time with one of my buddies that I competed with. That's what I was out there for. And I was like, oh, there's, you know, everybody's Instagram handle. There's so-and-so, and there's so-and-so. And
all the Instagram.
Oh, and they're all setting their phones up, doing their thing. And I'm like,
there's Monster Blaster 456.
Monster Blaster.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? And I'm just going to say this to people because...
Shred 69.
I just want people to know that I try my best to respond to anybody who posts things on social media. But I just want to say, if you have a ridiculously stupid, long, and hard to remember and spell fucking Instagram handle, like, you're the hardest to respond to, because I try like two or three times, and if I miss a letter and I have to go back, and then I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going to respond to this person. It's too
Katie
hard.
Katie loves IFOAM CrossFit.
It's too hard for me to scroll back, read how you wrote it, how many underscores and like hyphens and other shit that you have in your
asterisk.
Name. Then I'm like, fuck it. I was trying to be cool and like respond to everybody on here, but because you made a stupid name, I can't just get back to you. Make something that's easy to spell and easy to reply to.
Justin, did you eat?
Or don't get mad that I don't respond. That's
did
right.
you eat
right.
crazy?
But I read your shit.
Did you eat a lot of crazy stuff too?
I ate cookies, man. Like that's my
cookie
that's my,
monster,
dude. My vice,
cookie monster.
There's like I think I might have told you about these like really fluffy like this is like a sugar cookie almost, but it's really flaky. It's kind of like the consistency of pie crust. Mm. And then in the middle has this like frosting, and then the other side's like another one of those little. Oh my god!
Oh, it's
like heaven.
Is it like those French cookies? They're like colorful and shit.
Yeah, well, they colored icing. Oh, they're like little trees.
It couldn't get less manly looking, but they're delicious.
I made sure nobody watched me eat it.
Yeah, they're really good. Doug, how was your diet, Doug? Over the
holiday
season?
I ate a lot
season?
Of those.
Oh, way to fuck up, Doug, working over there, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug's over here multitasking and working.
I mean, god damn it, Doug!
Yeah. He's not on.
Way to go.
He's not on.
Yeah,
right,
way to go.
Raise your
Doug
hand.
Is over it's here. Fine. He's over here working diligently, and then Sal decides to throw a curveball at the poor guy. Hey, Doug, in case you weren't paying attention, stop what you're doing and answer his.
No, don't worry about it.
Silly question. The rest of it was good. It was just, the cookies that got me. And I had some whiskey. What is, like, everybody got me whiskey this year.
Can you remind, since you brought that up,
yeah.
Everett made these homemade whiskey sours that were fucking bomb.
What's a whiskey sour?
Well, I'm going to have to get them over to my house.
So
I got a ton of whiskey to do.
I don't know what he mixed it. Do you know what a whiskey sour is mixed with? But you use egg yolk.
Oh, it's a drink.
Yeah, it's a drink.
Oh, I was thinking of candy.
And you froth up the egg yolk, and it makes this, like, and it definitely tastes like whiskey, and it has just a little sour bite to it. Like, I don't know what you
I am trying to remember what
I don't know if you
is.
Use lemon juice or some shit in there or whatever, but boy, they were good and they were ass kickers, man. You had
I would eat the desserts and then some candies, and then fuck, man, the addictive properties of these foods is ridiculous.
Oh, isn't it crazy? Bad.
Bro, to the point where I got back yesterday, right? We're at the airport, and yesterday I'm already like, fuck, I'm like, I'm done. I need to eat clean. Like, I'm not feeling good, right?
Yeah.
But you're like at the airport, so I'm like, I'm going to get some food here at the airport. So driven to get these kinds of foods that the very last thing I ate was chocolate the airport.
When you eat this shit, do you feel like canker sore thing, like little like sores happening like in my gums? I was like, oh god, every time I like eat it, like
the chocolate flares up your herpes.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
Herpes.
How did you obtain your chocolate? that sounds like an STD.
I mean, that was her name.
Yeah,
that was her, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're not supposed
you want
to,
this chocolate
that doesn't happen to you guys. You eat a ton of sugar, your mouth gets all fucking sore.
I don't think that was frosting.
No, what happens to me is I can feel my like I still feel like shit today. Like today I don't even want to eat. Dude, I'm listening to I think I'm gonna fast all day long and just not eat today. All I'm gonna have is coffee and just fucking get it all out of my system because I do not like the way my stomach
well,
feels.
So
which blows my mind how people just like ignore those signs.
Well, so check this
I
out.
I get like ignoring it for the day, but like continuing on.
Well, so this prompted me to look up the addictive properties of foods because we're all well aware of that, right? There was actually a study done about a year ago, it was published, and I believe the person in charge of the study was Dr. Nicole, what was her last name? Avina, I think her last name was. Mm. And they ranked foods in order of addictive properties. And lo and behold, they found that the more processed the food was, the more addictive it was. And she said, I listened to her in an interview because then I looked her up, that food isn't addictive. Some foods are and some ingredients are, but food itself isn't addictive.
Uh-huh.
And the more processed things are, the more they tend to be addictive.
So is that just because it's engineered in there or it's everything else?
Yes. Yeah. Think about it this way. Like, here you are, you're a food company, you've got millions of dollars, you want to design something that hits on all the freaking levels.
That's what they
say. You know what I mean? The brain, and that's what they do.
They say that there's that the science behind that is this, McDonald's French fries dipped into tomato, the ketchup is like the ultimate thing for the brain and the taste buds, like the salt and the sweet together.
Wow.
That like supposedly that has been like engineered like to perfection as far as to hit that, like the most addictive properties.
I believe it.
Which makes sense because I don't care who you are. You gotta like McDonald's French fries.
Yeah. They're the best.
Yeah.
Well, that's what all the best chefs figure out.
Science.
That palate of like, you know, the sweet, the sour combo. Like,
yeah.
If they can master that, then like each one of their dishes are like amazing.
Well, it's also the mouthfeel, you know, it's mouthfeel,
yeah,
it's
too.
Color,
yeah.
It's smell, it's the packaging, how the food is packaged, where it's placed in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Then there's all the emotional components. Like When was the last time you saw a Coca-Cola ad that talked about how good Coke tastes?
I know.
There are none. No. It's all about like, it's I'm at a
like
game.
Nostalgia.
Or, yeah, or I'm with my friends. And
like
we're
a celebration.
Yeah, I fell in love with this girl. Or hey, I'm watching a movie. Or look at these polar bears. It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
It's all that association stuff. So you combine all that stuff and highly processed foods are extremely
addictive. Trip to think about. You know, they've nailed that fact alone, that associations are what drives you to make those types of decisions.
Dude, right now, as we speak, talking about all these foods that we
somebody's ordering because we said it.
Well, not even that.
McDonald's fries, man. I forgot about those.
Dude, not even that. I literally, now, have a small craving for some of this shit. I'm talking about it, how bad I felt, how my poop was sticky, and how I still, right now, if you had M&Ms in front of me, it would be very difficult to not eat an M&M.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Dear God.
Save us all.
The bird. Look how fat the bird is.
Queen Quah.
The eagle has landed.
Chimera Quah.
Today's Quah is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quah.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-quah.
First question is from Iron Barbell Training. Justin, your thoughts on Rogue One?
Oh, man. I was actually impressed, man. I was really pumped on that movie. And the more I thought about it, like initially I was kind of like, didn't have very many expectations going into it because it's like, I mean, it's like a filler movie. You know, it's like right
between. Wait. You didn't have any expectations?
Dude,
you
I
studied
not for
the
this
fuck
one.
Out of it before you went to a watch.
Fine, maybe I did a little
articles
bit.
And shit online, bro. He bought a whole magazine dedicated to it.
He's like, I had no expectations.
Yeah. I'm trying
liar.
To downplay it. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck you guys.
Because if it turned
for
into.
For out nerding me.
If it was anything like the
outing
other
me.
The ones in the middle, you would have totally been pissed.
Son of a bitch.
So, yes, you did have.
Fine, I did, but.
Okay, so let's. What did it. At the bare minimum, what did this movie have to deliver for it to be at least on your good level? And then where was like the great meter for you? Did it surpass that? Where did it fall in there?
Yeah, I think I needed like
what did
I,
it have
I needed
to have?
The story and the characters to matter, you know? And so for me, like I think that's where they really screwed up with the new ones or the prequels. I mean, the new one was great. This one, I was like, at least if they have like a compelling story, something drives me like emotionally or something that like, you know, made sense in this world. Because like the thing is, what was cool about it is there's a big nostalgia like factor to it because it was like back in that setting, like right before the very first Star Wars, you know, the Episode 4.
And they did a good job of throwing in, you know, like throwbacks to that, right?
Yeah.
There was that one scene when they're walking and they bump into those two characters that were at the bar.
Yep.
When Luke goes in.
Yeah, the guy gets
and Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Sliced.
You remember
off.
That?
Oh,
yeah.
And
yeah.
The walrus guy. He's like, that was kind of funny that they referenced him. Yeah, I like that. I think, okay, so I loved like how, well, and I don't want to give too many spoilers or anything, but.
Oh, fuck it. Get
yeah,
spoilers.
Whatever.
If they haven't watched it by now, they're not real fans.
Yeah. Screw you anyway. But what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So, like, going into like the whole idea of the Death Star, I was actually like, okay, how are they gonna like answer like how like why you know we see another fucking Death Star in the newest movie, and I feel like they did a good job of like describing that. Oh, they left this, you know, they actually engineered it to fail, you know, and like that was a really compelling idea. I like that direction they went. And then also the Oppenheimer thing and like the fact that everybody in this movie wasn't all good or all bad. It was like a lot of gray. It's like, you know, it was more real. It was like,
wow, it's a great reference to Oppenheimer.
What do you mean by that? Explain that a little bit deeper.
What I mean is like, so there's this knowledge that exists now. And a scientist kind of discovers something that could like benefit the human race or could, you know, in turn also like destroy it.
Oh, you're talking about the crystals or whatever.
Yeah.
Or just how to utilize it. So Oppenheimer was one of the lead scientists that in the development of the atomic bomb. And so they were able to harness the power of the atom, you know, nuclear power, which has the ability to
power a ton of, you know, homes.
Yeah, to generate incredible power, to do all these amazing things, but also has
create
the power to destroy the
world.
God,
what a great reference.
And
there,
that's the Oppenheimer, you know, just like them, they were able to discover this energy that they could harness to create this Death Star, but then also.
Did you read that somewhere or was that yours?
Yeah. No, I think I might have read that somewhere. I won't take credit for that.
No, fair enough. That was still good.
Yeah.
That was still money. Yeah.
But yeah.
That was great. That was great. And I'm glad Sal had the follow up there. That was excellent. That's good. That was awesome for me.
So it, cool. Anyway.
Which I mean, somebody else enjoyed that too.
Yeah,
I can't be the only idiot that didn't pick up on that right when you first said that.
Yeah, I liked the vibe of the movie. You know, it was like, you know, it made sense too, like with how, like, basically both parties, so the Sith kind of like got ultimate power and they're taking off and they're trying to like dominate like all parts of the universe, where all the Jedi's like they all like there was only what two left, right? And so like there's this whole like disconnect with the Force, and so what's left, like this world that was left, are these people that, like, you know, they don't have any association with the Force on that level anymore. And then there's like one or two people that are like, no, the Force is still a thing, it exists. And then you see it with this blind guy kind of going through
What did you think about that guy that was like pretending like he had the Force but didn't really have the Force but kind of had the Force? Like, what was that all about? Was that like
I feel like I really liked it because I feel like he was kind of conflicted. Like, he was the one that was trying to convince his friend that, like, you know, we should still believe in this, you know, even though it failed us, you know, like we all got destroyed, and like he's the one that still had faith and he still believed in something. So you see that play out, like, as he's going through and he's like doing these crazy moves and he's walking through all these lasers that like shooting right past his head. And it's like, he just, you know, he led with faith. And it showed that, like, how, you know, he was able to do that thing he was made to do. And then, you know, obviously nobody makes it, but, you know, it was like, I don't know, I thought it was
but
powerful.
Still cool,
the more
because
I think
it's real
it.
Though, right?
You know, it was more real. Yeah. It was like, I don't know. It's kind of like how I feel about Batman versus like Superman. You know what I mean? Like, it's Batman, you know, you can believe that he can do that shit, you know, cause he's teaching himself how to improve, and he's buying like technology and shit, where, you know, fucking Superman, like, he has all that shit. You know, who cares about Superman?
Man, he just nerded out like way hard.
I'm telling you, man.
He's going into the.
I love it though. He's just like, Batman is realistic. Superman though, stupid.
Yeah, yeah. He's stupid.
Yeah. Nobody is flying all around the world like that.
Oh, he's the worst character ever.
So for me, I'm a fan, but I'm not a mega fan. Like,
well,
just,
nobody
I just
asked
enjoy,
you, so it's okay.
I just enjoy exactly.
I mean, you know,
but from a consumer,
every now and then I'll let out my geek. You know, you guys ask me a question. You know, it's fine.
Well, I was gonna say from a consumer standpoint, I think they did an excellent job because they catered to their hardcore fans, but they also built
new fans for sure.
They built some new fans, but they catered to the hardcore fans because they answered some questions that I know the hardcore fans cringed. Like, okay, there's a fucking a port that you could fire one torpedo in and it blows up the whole fucking, you know, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and everybody kind of cringes at that. Will they answer that in this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the part that I like. I like that they were able to kind of
tied up loose ends.
That's
it. Yeah. No, I like that. I also like that they had that last scene with Darth Vader. He just fucking he's showing like his power for once. You know, it's like, oh yeah, like this is how he would shred through a bunch of guys at once. You know, that was awesome. Yeah. The only thing I didn't like was his stupid ass line where he's just like,
which one was that?
The one where he's just like, don't choke on your aspirations or something like that. And I was like, what are you, Arnold now? What is this? It was so cheesy.
Impossible to please.
Damn it.
You can't just be happy. Justin.
Overall, it was solid.
I'm telling you, though, that's stupid.
The next question is from the Holy Grailing. Do any of you still medicate using cannabis, or have your lifestyle changes allowed you to progress past the point of needing it for that purpose?
Wow, I love the way that's worded.
I did too, and that's why I chose this, because I think this is
The way that was worded.
This is something that I have been recently working on. Now, I think I probably talked the most about marijuana on here, although we all use it. And something that I found from cannabis that helped me a lot was settling me down at the end of the night. So for quite some time now, it's been pretty much a ritual for me that on a regular basis, I come home from a long day's worth of work. And once I'm settled in, I light up a joint. I take a few hits off of it. I don't even finish a half of a joint. So that just so everybody has an idea, those that are out there judging me right now. So pull the plank out of your own eye before you pull the sliver out of mine. So fuck off.
That's a Bible reference.
But,
boom.
You like that?
Bible reference.
So
Jesus says smoke weed.
Jesus. That's right. So that definitely has been something that's...
I don't know if I read that.
It's helped me settle my brain down for a long time. Now, that being said, it's been a personal goal of mine just recently in the last few months to utilize meditation, to utilize the blue blocker and the lights and try and settle down with the computer usage at night, the phone. So I'm trying to create this same idea or settling my brain down naturally and intrinsically without utilizing cannabis. Doesn't mean that I've completely eliminated it because I still enjoy it for multiple reasons. But I also don't ever want to be somebody who feels addicted or feel like I need something to get something mm-hmm. from. So I don't want to feel like in order for me to relax, I have to have marijuana, which I don't think I'm someone like that. But I'm also self-aware enough to know that I can also get in a pattern where it becomes something every single night. And I always used to kind of like take these week-long breaks sporadically. But now I want to get to a point where I can still get that same feeling if I can do that through natural ways, like I said, with the computer, with meditation, with getting rid of the phones and things like that a couple hours before I'm trying to rest, the blue blockers. So I'm trying to implement a lot of these things. So I love the question. I think it's a good thing to mm-hmm. talk about because we do reference cannabis a lot. I am a fan of cannabis for many reasons, but I also think just like anything else, that it can also take over. It could take over your life, your personality, and I think that it should be utilized as a tool mm-hmm. like anything else. And I think it can be abused.
I think that's the good word for it.
It's a tool.
Yeah, even then, I'm the least to kind of advocate the use. But at the same time, you know, over the years, I've really come to the idea of my whole association with it has changed completely. And I started experimenting a little bit more with edibles and that tended to resonate with me better. It worked with me better. And, just like Adam, like I have, like my brain goes a mile a minute. And, this is places where I really feel like it does help to, sort of dampen that signal that I'm so amped and I'm always on. And, I love to use it for that specific purpose where I can kind of like, I could chill down and I don't like to have alcohol was another one of those things for me, but like, I don't like drinking and I don't like doing it too often. I do like doing it, for celebratory reasons or whatever, but I don't want to use that either to like after work, I got to come home and have a drink to kind of settle the nerves or whatever the excuse is. It's all those things, you know, it's all how you like. You got to notice the rituals and the patterns that you establish. And, you know, maybe there's a place for each one of those things, but like, you know, use it intermittently and try not to be dependent on it.
Yeah. I like that they said allowed you to progress past the point
uh-huh.
of needing it. Because number one, needing something
mm-hmm.
Is not a good place to be, or at least that's not the place you want to end up. You don't want to be in a situation where that's the end, you know, you need something in order to be at your best. You want to be in a position where you don't need anything to be at your best.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. But you guys said it well, you know, it's a tool. My personal experience or use with cannabis was I barely ever tried it growing up. And I was reintroduced to it later on as an adult. And I found that it really did a good job of ameliorating my my symptoms from having from my gut issues, and it did a very good job at helping me with, you know, the autoimmune issues I have with dealing with food. But I did notice some side effects, and this is the thing: when you have a tool, the benefit should outweigh the side effects, or should outweigh the negatives. Always, when the negatives start to outweigh the benefits, well, then you have a problem. And what I notice with myself with cannabis is if I use it too often, too frequently, or too heavily, I do notice loss of short-term memory. My short-term memory isn't as crisp.
Mm.
It's not as effective. I notice that I can become more introspective. It can increase anxiety. It can increase a little bit of, you know, paranoid thinking. It can make me get the physical feeling of depression if I use it too heavily. You also got to look at it from a chemical point of view. You are providing your body with, cannabinoids, phytocannabinoids from the plant, marijuana. your body does produce its own cannabinoids known as endocannabinoids. And we don't know 100% if this is true or not, but most of the body systems have a feedback loop where if I provide my body with an external source of a particular molecule or chemical that either mimics or is identical to the one that my body produces, my body will adjust and adapt by producing less. So if I take something that increases dopamine, then my brain will naturally produce less dopamine and will downregulate dopamine receptors. If I take testosterone, my body will produce less testosterone, and maybe the testosterone receptors will start to downregulate. This is true for almost anything that the body produces. So using heavy doses of cannabis or too regularly, I think theoretically, and I don't have evidence for this, but I would bet money on it, would cause your brain and your body to produce less of its own cannabinoids and or downregulate its receptors to cannabinoids. And there's the evidence is all there. You do build up a tolerance to cannabis. Mm-hmm. And that's all the evidence I need. I mean, you can use a little bit of cannabis and over time need more and more to get the same effect. And so for me, that right there is a red flag. But that being said, it is a tool that has some incredible benefits, both medicinally and for longevity. But there may be better ways of using it. There's definitely better ways of using it than smoking it. And there may be ways of using it that are better than using it regularly. Now, for me, like I said, my gut issues, I'm finding now that I need less and less and less of it to be able to, you know, to help me. I don't need to use it daily like I used to. I used to have to use it every single night. Now I'd say probably once or twice a week is plenty for me. And I would like to get to the point where I use it on a as need basis. You know, like if I have issues, then I'll use it. And then if I don't have issues, I don't need it. But other than that, I advocate using all the tools at your disposal to improve the quality of your life. Sometimes that includes cannabis. Sometimes that includes alcohol. It might be medications that your doctor recommends you. You know, your diet, all these things. These are all tools. They can all be used, you know, to benefit you, and they can all be used to your detriment, and they can all be abused. And cannabis is not, you know, immune to being abused for sure. So,
well, I feel like almost everything is like this, where the less often you use it, the more awesome it is. The more often you use it, the less awesome it is.
Well, it's like
with anything, right?
Yes, you say this about exercise all the time. You know, you want to do the least amount necessary to elicit the best results. That's true for anything, especially for substances. Like if I'm using a painkiller or, antibiotic or anything, the goal is to use the minimum effective dose, because anything beyond that only increases the side effects or the negatives.
Yeah.
It's not going to increase the benefits, right? So with cannabis, it's true as well. Like, use the minimum effective dose. Now, is cannabis fun? It can be. It can be very fun. You can definitely have a good time with it. And I way prefer having a good time and partying with cannabis than I do to
alcohol,
any other substance.
Or any other thing.
Yeah, because I notice way less negatives. Like, if I go out with you guys and get hammered, we have a good time, I feel really crappy for a few days.
We're worthless the next day.
If we go and have a bunch of cannabis and have a good time, I don't really notice the negatives nearly as bad. So
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Tony Stedix, what were you guys like as teens? Were you always interested in fitness at a young age?
God, take you back to your teens here. What was going down? You know what comes to mind right away when I think
of
teens?
A lot of jerking off.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot. Wait a minute.
That's obvious.
Wait, that hasn't changed. No. Oh, never mind.
It's very similar.
I was into... that was around
magazines
Fast and the Furious time, right, man? I was into my little rice rocket. I had a Acura Integra, 98 Acura Integra that I had all geared up. I mean, I had all the stuff on the engine. It was super fast, and I was all into
super fast for back then.
Yeah,
these cars would get eaten up nowadays.
It was a fucking fast car.
Was it?
Oh yeah, no.
Did you go test it on the track?
No, I used to race it. I didn't go formally get it quarter mile.
What do you think? 300 horsepower?
Yeah, it was about 300 horsepower. But for a car that weighs like a third of what like my Camaro weighs, so I mean it's all relative to the weight. I mean that thing would. I mean I would chew up and spit out freaking 5.0 Mustangs, dude. It was a fast car. I had everything done to it except for forced air, so it had. You know, pulleys, cams, cam gears.
Oh, no, turbo.
That'd be forced air. Yeah, right. No, it had everything else, though. I mean, every bolt-on you could think of. And It was fucking fast. It was really fast.
Did you put the high octane gas in it, the little octane booster.
That didn't matter that much. But I mean, when
LED lights,
when you start messing with the internal stuff like the cams and cam gears, I mean, that was the biggest thing that probably made a difference on those cars. But anyways, I remember I was really into that, and I was into going down and racing all the time and doing stuff. I wasn't into working out and fitness until probably my late teens, like getting into 18, 19, 20, did fitness become something I was really into. And I was always a skinny kid who couldn't put on size. And if I worked out in my teens, it was more related to sport because I was an athlete. I played basketball and soccer. So it was more geared towards, you know, getting my vertical up. And even then, I was doing everything wrong.
Now, were you like super involved with your high school? Or did you like party a lot with people? Were you into it?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's there you go. So that's, that was a big deal for me. So I played sports. I hung out with all the jocks in high school. For me, the thing that was so cool to do was every Friday you were going down to watch your football team play, and then we were going to the after party afterwards. So, and I think in high school, at least for me and my generation, you know, it was always about where could you get the beer and where were you going to drink it? And sometimes that meant like on some, you know, grassy field somewhere out in the middle of nowhere or by some canal or, you know, somebody's parents that were out of town for that weekend. And that was really like a good majority. It's knock out all your schoolwork, homework, so you made sure that you could play sports. You carried your 3.0 to keep your parents off you. And then really it was about where could I drink beer on the weekends with my friends and party and have a good time. Now, I didn't smoke marijuana. I didn't do any drugs. I didn't do any of that shit in high school.
Or have sex.
I didn't. I was a virgin in high school. I didn't do drugs, but I did drink beer. I think somebody introduced me to beer my sophomore year in high school. And then it was the coolest thing ever to get drunk. And then we went on this kick for quite some time as a kid, which I think is the dumbest thing ever thinking back now. But it was like, It was me and my couple buddies that were really tight friends growing up. And it was like, you know, if you didn't throw up, you didn't get drunk, you know? So that was like, and so the mentality was like, it was like a race to like who puked first.
Kids.
And you just, I mean, we would do the shit we would do, I think. And like, it's so funny because now as an adult,
if you puke now, everybody looks at you like, man, you're a fucking idiot. Why'd you go that far?
Control yourself.
That's exactly what I mean. Like your goal as an adult is to be able to drink and not ever feel sick afterwards.
Yeah. You got to mask it like you're not even drunk. Like otherwise, everybody talks shit to you.
Yeah. So it's really funny how that mentality shifts as you get older. So I was really into sports. I was really into girls. So girls and sports and drinking beer was like my teens for sure. I mean, that was it for me. I was into cars, was into girls, and was into playing. If I was not playing basketball, I was at a local party somewhere. If I wasn't doing that, I was racing around my race rocket.
Wow.
Race
rocket. Very similar.
Yours was?
Yeah, but we were more into like hot rods, but I was building my
truck. So you were like arch enemies, your cars versus Adam.
Yeah, you fucking rice rugged. Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? So Mike, I had buddies that there was half of us jocks that were into old schools. The other half of us were into, you know, what was up and coming now, which was the right. Because that was our generation, I feel, that became popular.
It did.
It wasn't cool before to drive around Honda all souped up. But the Mazda RX-7 with Adam Sawatari and then those guys that were drag racing those type of cars back then. Made it. In fact, so that was before Fast and Furious. So really before Fast and Furious, there was Turbo Magazine and what was the other one? Turbo Magazine and...
It wasn't Maxim.
Import Wheels.
No, it wasn't Maxim. It was something that had a name like that. And you'd read it, and it had all the European ones, all the Volkswagens and the, you know, Peugeots and all the whatever.
But, I mean, Justin was probably the...
Our school was like...
We probably would have hung out in high school for sure.
Hold on. Your school is what?
American. Everybody had to be American.
Dude,
car. You know what I'm saying?
Big eagle.
America!
Big-ass eagle when you walked on the campus.
We chopped wood. Like, we were fucking...
That's right. I forgot.
I hung out with a bunch of lumberjacks.
I forgot when we saw your football fucking reunion thing. You guys actually got together in the forest to get your pregame. That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Had a sermon.
Yeah, exactly. He had one of the guys like doing this long prayer thing for the beginning
out in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, we were in the kind of boonies, you know. But it was interesting. Like it was a tight community, and you know, I didn't really party that much. To be honest, like I barely at all. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, my parents wouldn't even let me out of the house, man. It was like I was like on lockdown. So when I did get to go, I was like, yeah. And then like all my friends were professionals, and you know, like every time I went, I was just like, whoa, I can't handle this stuff, you know. But yeah, I still try. I was always trying to get out, you know, the house. I'm just like, oh, how can I work this out where I'm staying at my friend's house and then we could go to this party, but. Yeah, for the most part, I was doing sports. I mean, I was consumed by – I had to be, like, the best at every one of these sports. And that, if there was more sports for me to sign up for, I would have done it back then. I was, like, so into it. So as far as, like, fitness is concerned, like, that was, like, whatever. Like, if I was in the gym, it was like, okay, how is this going to make me a better football player?
Yeah, that's how I was.
How am I going to – yeah.
You didn't give a shit about like gains and PRs and how you looked.
But the size, like I was like, I had like this killer six pack, you know, like this is like one of those things where you're like, I was doing so much shit that my body was just like ridiculous back then. You know, I was just like a house.
Were you into, I just remembered something too that I did a lot in my teens. We were really into pranks.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cool thing for us. If we weren't doing all those things I said before, we were out pranking like the local cheerleader's house or something. Mm-hmm. We were toilet papering it, or we were, you know, dyeing her pond a certain color, or we were taking 2-liter bottles and we were chopping the top, and then like 10 of us guys would piss in it, and then we'd knock on someone's door and then they would open it up and spill in their house. Like we were doing
a bunch of funny guys.
Or we'd take like
a real funny
dead fish and we'd hide it in someone's car. Like we were like hardcore pranksters in high school too. So that was something that we did.
Did you guys all pee in the bottle? Was it at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, we all at the same time. You fit 10 dicks in a 10-liter bottle or a 2-liter bottle there.
Wow. Yeah, you guys are close.
A lot of sexual repression. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was probably the meanest prank that we ever did when we did that. I remember there was like 10 of us guys. We had nothing to do, and we knew that there was an underclassman was throwing a party down the street from my house. And we rested it up against her door. We rang the doorbell.
It was a girl?
He was even more of a bully than me.
Yeah.
It was a girl?
Yeah.
On top of it?
Yeah. She opened the door, and she was in my math class.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she was in my math class, and I remember her crying and telling the story on Monday about her parents coming back, and she was grounded forever because her house smelled like piss and all stuff like that.
Dude, no.
Yeah, I was a total asshole.
What a jerk.
Come on, I share the story. It probably wasn't even my idea at the time. I was just one of the 10 guys there.
You just were there.
Yeah,
just one of the 10
guys. I don't know how many. I was the good kid, right?
I threw acorns at a girl one time growing up.
What?
Really bad.
Acorns?
Still. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are both jerks.
No,
listen,
because like my best friend was a girl. I saw her over Christmas, and so we were like laughing because like, you know, this is when we were kids, like I was like, man, I was a dick sometimes. You know, I told you about that story about like making
the
kid eat the poo sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were going out, we were always so competitive to get first in line for the bus. And you know, these kids, like they would like, so you'd see him running from the corner of your eye, you know, down this other path, and you're like, no, I'm going to get there first. And this one girl is just talking shit to me and my friend. She's just like, yeah, I'm going to get there. And so we saw like all these acorns had fell from the trees. And so we grabbed them, we started throwing them at her. Like, no, dude,
we're winning,
you know. And then she started crying, and I gave her, but I apologized. I was like,
so is that one of those ones where you just felt miserable afterwards?
Terrible, immediately.
So I had one that so check this out.
And now she developed an eating disorder.
My sophomore year in high school,
no way, man.
My buddy Eric had his older brother who was a senior, and they had this big Suburban, like one of those big old extra extended long old school Suburbans. And they were driving around. One of their friends had a paintball gun. That's when paintball guns became really popular, right? They were going out, and they were driving. It was just like on a Friday or Saturday night, late night. And anybody that was out on the streets at that time, they were driving by and shooting them with paintballs. And they would come back and tell, oh, my God, we got these guys that were walking. It was so hilarious. And so they convince all of us underclassmen to come in and ride with them and go do this with them. So now it's like midnight or so, midnight, 1 in the morning, and we're having a hard time finding people on the street. It's fucking 1 o'clock in the morning in some small cow town. So there's nobody out. And we're like, who are we going to do this? So, okay, we come up with this bright idea. Let's go ring doorbells. And then when someone answers the door, we'll blast them with fucking with the paintball. So what we would do is we'd send my buddy, who was was the running back for the team. So he had the, he was the fastest. So he would sprint to the door. He'd ring the doorbell. He'd run back. And then the guy in the passenger seat would be sitting there with the paintball gun pointing at the front door until someone opened it, and then we would blast the person to open the front door. And so
at 1 o'clock in the morning,
at 1 o'clock,
you are lucky someone didn't shoot you. Yeah, guys. I would have done that. I would have been like, "Oh, you're going to die now."
Remember, this is this is fucking almost 20 years ago, and it's in a cow town. So they're back then, like a semi-automatic paintball gun was like the most dangerous thing probably around there, or a pitchfork. So that's probably was the scariest thing. Somebody would come chasing with that. But by that time, we would speed off, right? So we were smart about it. We were strategic how we get away if somebody came after us. So we do this, and because we didn't want to just shoot random people, we were going to people's houses that we knew. Well, this girl that we – the house we shot, she happened to go to church with my family, and her older brother was in my class. Actually, she was a class below me, but it knew me. And the girl that we shot was in the same class as my little sister, and she knew her. And word got around that I was there. And then it got back to my parents, and so then and then their parents. And so I had to go over and formally apologize to her parents. And oh my God, was it the worst? Probably, this will go down as like one of the worst experiences of my life of standing. Now, mind you, I was in the back, all the way in the back seat, fucking never once got out of the car, never once did anything. I was just there, you know, but it was, I took the heat for this.
Did you get a beat down for it?
Oh no, it was worse than that, dude. I was grounded for like a whole summer over that. And the parents that this happened to, so the dad and the mom are standing there. The mom's telling me the story. The dad's telling the story, and the mom's fucking bawling out of control because when we shot her with the paintballs didn't break. They hit her and they just bounced off. And they, you know, if you've been shot with a paintball gun, they fucking sting, right? And imagine getting hit with like five of them, right? So the daughter, who's like, she's like a freshman or sophomore in high school, falls to the ground at 1 o'clock in the morning, screaming, crying that she's been shot. Mom and dad come running from downstairs and see their daughter laying on the ground, screaming, crying. Mom screaming, crying. Dad screaming, crying. Everyone's crying, freaking out before they realize that it was just paintballs. So they're like telling me the story minute by minute how this went down.
And
from
you
there.
Feel like the biggest.
Oh
my gut hurts right now.
Oh dude, I felt. How dare you? I felt so miserable and like and I took. I mean, the dad just made me feel like I was a piece of shit.
Damn it.
You know. And this whole time I'm going like, motherfucker, I should have never gotten in the car. And my parents grounded me for an entire summer. I'll never forget doing that.
God damn it. I would have killed you if I was your dad.
That's brutal.
School for me, as a teen, school for me was so completely unmemorable. You guys did a lot of things with your school, right? You guys played sports. You were very connected to it. I went to zero parties. I didn't play any school sports. The people I hung out with, I had friends. But I was into working out real young. I started lifting weights at the age of maybe 13 or 14, and that was my favorite thing to do after school. After school, I'd go home and I'd read about it, about working out. I'd read about nutrition, or I'd read chemistry books about supplements, and then I'd lift weights and come up with ideas on how to work out. And I actually even found recently, you know, going through old boxes, I found workouts that I had typed out on my computer.
Oh, yeah, you shot
and planned out.
That's right.
I kept track of my measurements and my gains and my strength and, you know, what I would eat and how to mix this supplement with that supplement. So I was super into that stuff. Real young, though, I'd say junior high, because that's the age you want to fit in, right?
Yeah.
You really want to fit in. So I hung out with some, like, gangbangers. Yeah, I know, right? So I hang
Gangster
out with, like,
South.
This was JNCO Jeans Day.
This was JNCO Jeans Day. I was hanging out with these, you know, fucking losers, and it was a kind of a shitty time because I really didn't fit in with them, but I thought it would be cool to hang out with them. And at some point, me and one of them didn't get along, and then we got in this big old fight, and I got jumped by them a bunch of times. And then after that, I was like, I was known for being like, don't fuck with Sal because he'll fight back type of thing. And luckily, they left me alone.
Don't beat the nerd up. He's actually pretty strong.
He's been working out.
He'll fight you guys. Yeah.
He's a buff nerd.
And like I said, high school was super unmemorable, and I started working real young. So I was like 15. I think I was 15 years old when I got my first job. And so then I just saved my money and work out and hang out. I didn't do any of that stuff. I didn't party. I didn't drink. I didn't dance. I don't think I drank until I was probably... Well, no, I know I drank when I was 18 because my general manager took me out and got me hammered.
I used to go to a bar when I was 18, and this one lady who was like a bartender, she had no idea I wasn't 21. I used like the worst fake ID ever.
McLovin.
Like, it was worse than that, dude. It was like a guy that was like Indian.
She probably knew, but you were probably one of her best customers.
100% knew.
That was like this liquor store we used to go to, and like all the kids went to it, too. And we all knew that he knew, but it was just like, dude, we were probably half his business.
The whole high school went there. This lady used to be like a, God, what did they call those? The old bikini, like the Hawaiian Tropics?
She was like a Hawaiian Tropic lady.
And we just like worshiped her. We'd go there, like, and she would just get us like totally hammered, you know, because she loved the entertainment of it, of us just doting on her. Just, oh, God.
Well, here's what I want to know. I see all the time now on in the news, all the time now, I see these attractive female teachers in their 30s having sex with like their male students who are like 17 years old.
What is up with that?
Why didn't that happen to us?
Never. No. I didn't see any of that. I didn't hear any of that.
No.
Never happened. And every single time when they get caught and they get busted, it's because the dude bragged to his friends.
Yep.
And part of me is like, okay, listen, I know I'm pissing people off.
Come on, bro.
I know I'm pissing people off. Okay, yes, it's not right to do that. But part of me is like looking at the kid like, you fucking should have kept that shit to yourself. Yeah. The fuck are you doing?
As a young boy, you're not smart enough.
Don't tell anybody.
You're not smart enough to do that.
Not only that, but that's the most exciting part. While it's happening, you're probably like, I can't wait to tell my friends.
Oh, of course. That's half of it. You're probably awful. You're all over the place, but you're thinking in your head, you can't wait to tell your boys. It's going to be the best story of the week. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to top this? Yeah. I banged our English teacher yesterday. Yeah. Cool story, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't top that.
Remember, Miss Beverly? Yeah. I got something. Yeah. Got something to tell you.
Nine String Man, how would you guys go about improving your bench press?
Oh,
that's a good question. First off, you have to identify your individual issues with the bench press. So that being that being said, we can go into some general advice, because the first thing I would do if someone came in and said, before you start being a trainer,
were there moments in your personal journey that like you made breakthroughs for, you know, building your chest or increasing your chest personally?
Definitely.
I know the trainer. I just wanted to stop you because I could hear the trainer in you going right away and like how we coach and train someone. But I always feel like when we share our personal journeys and stuff like that and breakthroughs that we personally had, sometimes those are big tips for people. So do you remember that for yourself?
Well, I remember. So in the early, when I would read bodybuilding magazines, of course, a lot of the information in them was false, believe it or not. And one of the things that I read was, if you wanted to build the outside of your pecs or your outer pecs, to use a really wide grip on your bench press. Now, I have a narrow frame, right? I'm built kind of narrow. And I identified this as a kid. And so I said, oh, fuck, I want my chest to get wider. So I would always bench with this really wide grip. These magazines would also tell you that the wider your grip, the more you hit your chest. And the closer grip, the less you hit your chest. And so I benched with a super wide grip for a long time. One of the game changers for me was learning that I actually bench better with a closer than that ultra wide grip. And that tucking my elbows a little bit gave me more strength and better leverage. And I learned that from watching powerlifters. Mm-hmm. Because at some point I realized that I should probably study the people that are experts at maximizing mechanics of a particular lift. And nobody bench presses better or more efficiently and effectively than a powerlifter. Because their job is to lift the most amount of weight. So they're going to lift in a way that's going to make them lift the most amount of weight. And they're going to lift in a way that's the safest lifting the most amount of weight. And so watching powerlifters taught me a lot. It taught me how to stick my chest out, to have that strong arch in my back, tuck my elbows a little bit, grip the bar real strong,
drive my feet into the floor.
Those were huge.
That was a big one for me.
Those were huge for me in getting my bench press to increase and increasing the development from them. And then the second thing was learning how to use, how to pause the rep and to work on different parts of the rep, especially the parts that I was weakest. Because when I first started benching, I was weakest at the bottom part.
Yeah, that's, I was going to actually mention that was mine, but I worked on that doing like super low dips in contrast with that too. So I would hold like an isometric hold at the very bottom too, and then have to dig my way out. And then that translated really well doing bench press and getting that recruitment, you know, of that strength when I needed it at the bottom of the lift. And then also too, it increased my range of motion, you know, and the control in my range of motion and the strength in that. So You know, that was a big thing for me because my lockout was always really strong, but I would find myself as I got, you know, increasing the weight quite significantly. It's that very first part. I had like no momentum, nothing I could generate. Like I couldn't generate enough power right there. So mm-hmm. that I had to address that.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys, when you first start benching, did you use a thumbless grip?
No, I've always used the thumb.
I don't know at what point did I start breaking my wrist and doing stuff like that.
Because I watched, I would look at like the bodybuilders lift and they would do that with a thumbless grip,
uh-huh.
with the wrist break. And I got into a bad habit of benching that way for a long time. And it took me a while to erase that.
Yeah.
And the reason why I erased is I realized that when I'd go heavy, I'd have to use wrist
exactly.
wrist wraps.
Yeah, it's compromising on your wrist. That's
and I'm
why
like,
I
why am I
it?
Having to use wrist wraps? You know, yeah. I shouldn't have to use that. And, change my grip. That was another
yeah.
kind of game changer.
There's a couple of things that come to mind that I think were big for me. One, I felt like bench was one of those things, one of those few things that I ever tested PRs on, even young. Like I feel like bench press is one of those things that a lot of guys max out on. Like,
well, yeah, that's the test of strength.
What do you
yeah.
bench? What yeah. do you bench, right? Like I think that was like a common thing that you lifted 1 to 6 reps. So a big breakthrough for me was breaking out of that training super heavy and low reps and introducing 15 reps and supersets for my chest. So a lot of that is checking your ego too, because obviously if you're repping out 15 reps or you're supersetting a chest, two chest exercises, then the amount of weight that you can move is way less than what you are moving when you're going to max out. But that gave me some of the biggest gains was breaking those habits of being stuck in the low reps and trying to see, oh, my bench went from 200 to 215. Oh my God, that's huge. Like being so caught up in the PR of my bench and actually starting to venture out and challenge my chest in other ways. Another big one was the frequency. So this was also something that was when I first saw the development of MAPS, I was like, oh, this rang so true to me and my own journey of when that frequency light bulb went off for me. And instead of hammering my chest so hard on one day out of the week and then leaving it for next week, when I realized it was an area I was trying to develop, was starting to hit it more frequently. I was hitting it 2 and then 3 times a week. And I saw huge gains in my chest from that also. And the third and the most recent one was incline was a very neglected area for me. Like my incline was significantly weaker than my flat bench. I could flat bench dramatically more weight than I could on the incline. And I hated doing the incline press because of that, because I had to go put on half the weight and do it. So I avoided it forever. I'm now at a point in my lifting career where my incline is almost identical, if not stronger, than my flat bench. So I saw huge development in the upper part of my chest. So my whole, you know, upper part of my chest and shoulders really started to come together when I really put a lot of emphasis on incline. And that just gave, you know, aside from overall strength, but even the look aesthetically, because we know that's a lot of what I've been focused on for some time. So those three things, I think, were big standout things that really, really helped me develop a chest and improve my bench.
Let me ask you guys this, because I kind of feel like the bench press was chosen a little bit arbitrarily in terms of being one of the most functional horizontal based press.
Well, I think
you see what I'm saying. Like,
I think that like where you're going, overhead press would be a
better strength standard.
Yeah, no one talks about the overhead press like you talk about bench press.
Yeah,
and technically, it is a more functional, better judge
for sports, for anything,
everything,
right?
Overall yeah. strength, functionality. Like,
well, maybe because chest was emphasized so much for men, you know, back in the days. Like, you know, the more developed your chest was, that was like, you know, that was a big deal. And so everybody really focused on how do I, you know, build that up. And maybe it's all just like bench related. That became like popular somehow through that.
Well, let's be honest too. Like, you know, Jesus, when it comes to bodybuilding, Arnold Schwarzenegger had like one of the most
ridiculous
epic yeah. chest ever. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of that came from that. I mean,
yeah. Think about it. Like the old school lifters, it was the bent press.
Yeah,
you know?
The
it
bent
was
press.
Like all overhead, you could put overhead.
It was yeah. what you could lift off the ground.
Yeah, that was like a yeah. test of strength.
And, yeah, yep. So. It was the functional stuff. And when they said functional, they meant stuff that translated to work.
Yeah,
like what can I do when I work? and it was lifting things off the ground and putting things
up
above
your head.
Dude,
even before that, it was rocks, yeah, you know?
Exactly.
Like, in the highlands.
And when you look at athletes who don't lift weights, who are just functional through their sport, very rarely do you see a very well-developed chest. That you just don't. And that's what that became, a well-developed chest became the kind of the standard of what a bodybuilder looked like, because mm-hmm. of all the athletes, bodybuilders are really the only ones I can think about that have really, really well developed pecs.
Well, it's just not necessary for a lot of sports. Yeah. Maybe football with pushing off an athlete.
Well, baseball players do not want to develop chests.
No, and yeah. even football players, you want strong triceps and shoulders. But you know, if we're talking horizontal pressing, because pressing horizontally, it is a fundamental function, right? Mm. Overhead is pushing, you know, vertically, right? I would venture to say that an incline press might be more functional than a flat bench because...
Well, you're getting closer to an overhead that way.
Well, though. You are.
You're
and,
right in between.
Right, yeah. And in real life, if you are having to brace yourself up against something or push up against something, uh-huh. you're typically leaning forward to give yourself that kind of that leverage against the ground, uh-huh. and that would mimic more of an incline press.
I could see that.
So I could kind of see an argument for either one, you know, that for maybe the incline being more functional mm-hmm. than a flat bench if you were to pick your horizontal... You know, type press. In terms of safety, I don't know.
Incline is way better.
Probably safer, huh?
Well, yeah. No, this was why now, like for me, when I teach, I rarely ever teach a flat bench, dude.
Really?
I think that an incline is, it's much more natural. So if you can imagine right now listening to this while you're sitting on an incline bench and then imagining the straight bar above you, it naturally is going to, that angle. It helps
it
you.
It depresses
yes,
the scapula a little
yes,
bit better.
Yes, depresses yeah. the scapula. So if mm-hmm. you can retract and depress, it really helps that. When you're horizontal, it takes a lot. That's why you have yeah. to really create that
body
excessive
manipulating
arch.
To get there.
Yeah, like that's why powerlifters have to create that really excessive arch to create that natural angle to retract and depress the shoulders, where when you're on an incline bench, you're kind of naturally there. And so I find it very easy to teach somebody mechanically where you need to be to do a proper chest press. Mm-hmm. So I actually now teach on an incline before I teach a flat bench mm-hmm. to like a beginner. So
yeah.
I find it way more functional, way more beneficial, easier to teach mechanics. So incline for the win, man. So yeah, if you're not doing that, I would definitely make that a priority and try. And that was what I did. Like the small goal for me was, okay, my goal is to catch my incline bench up to my flat. And so yeah. now it's become a more dominant lift.
I think too, just to even, you know, answer his question even more, I would say, you know, do cycles where you just do presses with dumbbells, mm-hmm. flat, you know, flat bench with dumbbells. That'll contribute a lot to your barbell press.
Yep.
Learn how to pause your reps so you can come down to your chest and maintain tension and keep it on your chest for 3 to 5 seconds and then press it up.
Mm-hmm.
Or do lockout benches if your lockout is an issue where, you know, you only go down, maybe you set the rack up so that you go down.
Or you use rubber bands too.
Bands, yeah, which chains. Awesome. These are all chains. Excellent techniques.
Yep.
If you really want to just improve the weight of your bench press and how much you can lift on the bench press more than development and all those other things and, you know, in aesthetics, look to powerlifters. They are the ones that are the experts at this, and they've really beat this up to death in terms of all the techniques.
Most technical, yeah, about those, because I mean they're focused on like 4 or 5 lifts. That's it.
So, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes, and if we like your review and we pick it, you will get a free Mind Pump T-shirt. Also, do not forget to check us out on Instagram. In fact, that's where you can ask us these questions that we'll answer in our Q&A episodes. You can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find my personal page at Mind Pump Sal. Adam has a personal page too. It's at Mind Pump Adam. And Justin is at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.